Genesis chapter 50, verse 15, the Bible says, "When Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, 'Joseph will peradventure hate us, and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him.' And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, 'Thy father did command before he died, saying, So shall ye say unto Joseph, Forgive, I pray thee, the trespasses of thy brethren and their sin. For they did unto thee evil, and now we pray thee, forgive the trespasses of the servant of the God of thy father.' And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And when his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, 'Behold, we be thy servant.' And Joseph said unto them, 'Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive.'" Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we love you. I thank you for this evening. I thank you for the time that we could come. We could put everything aside and clear our minds, and we can give you total attention. I thank you for that. I pray that you would help each and every one of us to sit up and to listen with open hearts. Dear God, I pray that you would use your Holy Spirit's power to speak through me to be a help and encouragement. Dear God, we're needy people. We have hurts and heartaches. Dear God, we have decisions that need made, and we need desperately for you to meet with us. Dear God, I pray that you would keep the evil one away. Help us to leave here this evening closer to you than when we came. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Many of us are familiar with the story of Joseph. More times we're familiar with the coat of many colors. But I believe all this came to pass from that story. I believe that coat of many colors was the straw that broke the camel's back with Joseph's 10 brethren. And they hated and despised Joseph. They wanted to do away with him, and they actually plotted a plan and worked out that plan to get rid of Joseph. They made everybody else believe that Joseph was dead. Joseph was sold into Egypt, and there in Egypt, Joseph began to grow up as a slave, falsely accused, thrown into prison. If you look at the story of Joseph wasn't really all that bright. His brothers hated him. As far as his family was concerned, Joseph was a dead man. Joseph's in Egypt, thrown into prison. You say, well, he was favored in prison. It really can't be all that bright in prison. Up to this point, and to the time when the chief butler and the chief baker get thrown into prison with Joseph, he interprets a dream for them. He reminds them that he's an innocent man, really shouldn't be in prison. Reminded them that maybe someday it'll come up and you can tell Pharaoh about me. The day did come. Joseph is now standing in front of Pharaoh. He interprets the dream for Pharaoh that there's going to be 7 years of plenteous and 7 years of famine. Now Joseph is promoted from prison to second in command of Egypt. Can you imagine putting that on your resume? Prison to second in command of the nation? Sounds familiar. I'm just kidding. Sitting there, second in command, and now his 10 brothers come, and Joseph, a long story short, most of us are familiar with the story. Joseph moves his family to Egypt. Mind you, his 10 brethren thought the only reason that Joseph did all these good deeds, the only reason why Joseph didn't take their life was because Daddy was alive. Because Joseph and Daddy, still hinging upon that relationship and that coat of many colors, and Jacob favored Joseph more than his other kids, and that just set in with them, and that bitterness set in, and that hatred set in, and they still think this. Daddy passes away, and now they send a messenger to Joseph. They didn't even have enough guts to go stand in front of Joseph. They send a messenger to him, and they say, "Joseph, before Daddy passed away, his dying wishes were that you would forgive us our trespasses, the aught that we did to you. Please, Joseph." Remember, Joseph has the power. If he doesn't like you, you're done. The Bible says that Joseph fell on his face and began to weep, and he called his brethren and he said, "Brother, do you not get it? Don't you see? I mean, you thought evil upon me. You thought the only reason why I've saved you is because Daddy was here, but you don't get it. Don't you see that God did all this and God put me through all this to save many people? Don't you see it, brethren? I don't hate you." See, the picture, the illustration, the story in Scripture of Joseph and his 10 brethren is the perfect illustration. Actually, the response of both sides show the difference between the spiritual-minded thinking and the carnal mind. You say, "What do you mean, Brother Nathan?" Well, let's talk about the spiritual mind just for a few minutes. The spiritual mind always thinks about other people. The spiritual mind realizes that everything that happens in life is so that others can be helped. The spiritual mind realizes that trials and heartaches come so that others can be helped. We can become spiritually stronger to be a help and encouragement to others in their time of need. The spiritual mind does everything for the sake of someone else. He does not think of himself. He does everything to be a help and encouragement to someone else. The spiritual-minded person doesn't worry how he or she is treated, for all they want to do is be a help to another. On the other hand, we have the carnal mind. Now, I can relate with the carnal mind. I mean, I can relate with Joseph if he wanted vengeance upon his brother. Remember, I have 8 sisters. I've been mentally disturbed. And I'm not kidding. But the carnal minded person thinks constantly and totally about himself and what he can get. What I mean by this, whatever actions the carnal mind performs is ultimately for himself. This is not the carnal minded person doesn't just go around doing bad. The carnal minded person will do good if he believes there's a benefit in it for himself. You say, what do you mean by this? I'm gonna hit something that's gonna be hard. I'm sorry, but I like to hunt. I mean, I love it. I have a Bowtech Allegiance, and I love shooting it. It's the only thing of my hunting gear I haven't sold, because I love it. And I'm going to have to, but I love it. I mean, my wife knows, don't touch the bow. I mean, I love to hunt. Anytime I can go in the woods, I love it. But if I found out that you own land, you'd be my new best friend. You say, why? I want to hunt. I found out your favorite ball team, buy you season tickets. Your favorite restaurant, you got it. Anything you want, you got it. Because when I ask you if I can hunt on your land and you sign on that dotted line to give me permission, I want no doubt about it, we're best pals, and I would be offended. And our relationship ends in the balance. You say, why? Because you care about them? Not a lick. I just want to hunt. You say, how dare you, Brother Nathan? It's scriptural. Hunting's in the Bible. It's okay. But you have to understand, the carnal mind will do good if he believes there's a benefit in it for himself. That's why sometimes we'll go to one activity, but not another. Because that one, I don't get anything out of it. Why would I go? You wouldn't dare go to be a blessing to someone else. The carnal mind will do good deeds. He'll perform good actions if it benefits him. Many times, the carnal-minded person will do good if he believes it's a benefit in it. The carnal mind makes every relationship in his or her life about himself. It's always the other person's fault. It's always what they can get out of the relationship, not what they can put into it. It's never about the other person. It's always about them. Whether at work, whether at home in the marriage, whether it's relationships, it's always somebody else's fault. Always. Simply put, the carnal mind is selfish, self-centered. The carnal mind thinks totally and constantly about him or herself. You see, I can relate with the carnal mind. I'll just be honest with you. I can. I mean, when I wake up in the morning, if I don't ask the Holy Spirit of God to control my thinking, I'm a rough bear to live with. You say, why? Because I have that flesh nature. There's certain things I like and certain ways I like it. But it's not what's most important. You see, the interesting thing about the carnal mind is that the carnal-minded person cannot understand the spiritual mind. When confronted by the spiritual mind, the carnal-minded person thinks that the spiritual-minded person has an ulterior motive, because that's how they think. Remember, Joseph's brethren. They thought that Joseph wouldn't have revenge upon them. They thought Joseph was going to have their life or make them be slaves. Little did they realize is that Joseph had no intentions of that at all. All he wanted to do was help people. That's all he wanted to do. But they couldn't understand that. Why? Because they were still thinking with the carnal mind. When you think with a spiritual mind, sometimes you involve yourselves in things that will not benefit you. Sometimes these things are not pleasant, but the spiritual mind will do them because he can be a help and encouragement to someone else. You see, Christian, life will never become enjoyable until we begin thinking with the spiritual mind. The only way that you and I can think with the spiritual mind, there's two things that we can do. The first thing, we can ask the Holy Spirit of God to control our thinking. You see, that's when true enjoyment comes. You say, Brother Nathan, no way. When I first got married, I had moved home right before then, and my dad needed something for me to do. So he bought a bus and told me to fill the bus. One of the best things he ever did, because it began to help me not be self-centered and to care about the needs of others. I think the bus helped me more than it did the kids. I filled that bus, got married, came home from my honeymoon, and my dad had a new bus sitting in the parking lot. And I said, what's the bus for, Dad? He goes, it's your new bus. I said, what for? He goes, oh, it's for you and your wife. So I already have a bus. He goes, oh, I gave that away. Let's say that's what happens when you work for your dad. I said, what for? He goes, oh, you and your wife are going to go over here and you're going to start a bus route together. He goes, but I want you to concentrate more on reaching the mom and dad and the families and bringing them on the bus so that they eventually get to the point where they're driving in a little different aspect. And we did it. I remember Monday afternoon I'd get home and we'd go straight out there. Tuesday, the same thing. Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I mean, we spent all of our time out there and it was going great. Vacation Bible School, about a few months before Vacation Bible School, we met a family. Began bringing them to church on the bus, and then Sunday night we'd pick them up, and Wednesday night we'd pick them up in our car, and things were going great until VBS, and something wasn't right. I couldn't pinpoint it down. Then Sunday came by, and I come to find out the family was having going through hard times, and they hadn't eaten for 4 days. I was heartbroken, and we dropped them off. We went straight to the grocery store, and we said, we're going to buy them some necessities. No junk food. Nothing at all. We get in that. I'll never forget it. Just like it was yesterday. This has been 8 years ago. I mean, it was just like it was yesterday. We're walking down the aisles. Four grocery shop carts full. And we had some junk food, sorry. We got excited. You say, why? Because all I could think about was meeting the needs of them little kids and their eyes just brightening up. And I remember we got to their house, and I'm still talking about it. You say, why, Brother Nathan? Because true enjoyment comes when you're meeting the needs of someone else. We're never happy when our eyes are on ourselves. You say, what's that have to do with missions? What's that have to do with Cameroon, West Africa? Until I get my eyes off myself and begin to think about others. By the way, if I don't care for my neighbor, I dead for sure ain't going to care for somebody in Africa. If I don't care about May 1st, right? I'm not going to care about reaching the world. It's not going to happen. You see, Brother Nathan, what's the big deal? Because true enjoyment comes, true satisfaction is when I take my eyes off myself and I begin meeting the needs of others, come to church with a purpose just to bring a smile to somebody else's face. You'll find out you'll walk out of church on cloud nine. The other thing I can do is spend more time in the Word of God. You say, how can I do that, Brother Nathan? How's that going to help me? Because this book right here keeps my heart tender. I find the further away I get from this book, the colder my heart gets. The further away I get from this book, the more I want to argue with the preacher. The more I want to criticize. The more I could really care about others. And I want that new iPhone and I got to have this, and I got to have that, and I become miserable. But this book, I'll tell you what, the more you're in this book, the more you begin to think like Christ. And he didn't care for himself. He cared for you and I. You see, Christians are the light that Christ left behind. And when I act no different, and I'm self-centered, I allow my light to be covered up. And when I lash out, and I let somebody have a piece of my mind, and I become self-centered, and Nobody else wants that Jesus inside of you. Why? Because why would I want that? Two things I can do is I can ask the Holy Spirit of God to control my thinking. I can spend more time in the Word of God. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we love you. I thank you for this evening. I thank you for your watch, care, and protection upon us. I pray you bless Blessed Hope Baptist Church, dear God, and put a hedge of protection about them, about their preacher, dear God, and just pray you bless the remainder of the service. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Preacher.